How's everyone this morning? Good, good, good. Just give me a couple of seconds. And we'll get this all ready. There we go. All right. As Pastor Mitchell said, we're starting a new series this month, and we'll talk about that in a few moments, called He Has Come to Set Us Free. Right, straight from Scripture, and that is past tense. All right. I just want to mention Leah. Leah, just wave your hands for a minute. I just want to pray for her for a few in a moment here and her family. Leah is from the Philippines, and most of her family's in the Philippines, and her mom passed away from a heart attack, suddenly of a heart attack this week, and of course, because of COVID and a lot of restrictions that are in place, she was unable to see her family. The good thing is, 2 years ago, she was able to see her family, and which is a good thing. But I just want to pray for her and her family, and she was able to Zoom in the funeral, but it's nothing like it to be by yourself, that right? Especially a mom who it was very special to her. So let's just pray for her. Father, I just thank you for Leah, and Lord, for her family. And Father, I thank you that mom's with you today, Lord God. She was a believer. And so, Lord, we thank you for that very fact, Lord God, that we can have solace and we can have comfort in the fact that one day Leah's going to see her mom again. But, Lord, there's going to be a missing here on earth for a period of time. And so we pray, Father God, just that you send us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that you would comfort Leah, Lord God, as she was unable to be with her family at this time. But, Father, that you just do within her heart and bring that comfort and that strength within her that no one else can do, Lord God. And even with her friends sitting around her right now, Lord God, Father, may she just feel the warmth and the love of your Spirit just through this body, through her friendships, Lord God, through the people that are supporting her through this journey here. We pray for that now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray for this for the word that you put on my heart, Lord God, as we start this new series this week, Lord God, this month on being set free. Lord Jesus, you've already come to set us free. But often, so often, Lord God, we're not really walking in the reality of it. And so, Lord, I pray by the end of this month that we'll be more freer than we've ever been before. Because, Jesus, you've already paid the price for our freedom. But we just need to receive it, Lord God, and walk in it with your truth. And so, God, I pray that by your Spirit this morning, that which you've laid upon my heart may become real to us, Lord. Open our ears that we may hear what it is that you're saying, Lord God. Open our eyes that we may see from the Scriptures the wonderful treasures that are within the Word of God, so that we're able to partake of those words, Lord God, and apply it in our lives, weave it through our life itself, Lord God, so that we'll just not be set free, but continue to walk in that freedom that you've gained for us. That's what I pray for now. And everybody agreed, said, amen. Amen. Praise God. As I said, we are starting a new series called Set Free. I'm just going to share a little bit of a story and then a couple of introductions, and we'll talk about these banners over here, the scriptures on there. Now I'm going to go to a Bible story and give you about 4 or 5 points. It's going to go very quickly. They're quick points. But just to share with you some of the things that God's put on my heart for this introduction service. I've had, how many of you have ever had some important moments in their lives before? And you can pinpoint them back and you can just say that was an important moment. Something shifted in your life. And I've had a number of them in my life. And 3 years ago, if you've heard me talk about it before, and I'm going to talk about the Set Free Conference a little bit. But 3 years ago, in January 2018, was one of those times in my life. It was my first Set Free Conference. I've never heard of it before. I've never been in Steinbach, Manitoba before. So Rose and I and a few of us went there and were part of that conference with probably about another 300 pastors and then their own congregation. And then their own congregation on top of that. So we were about 400 or 500 people there, all going through this conference. But during this conference, something shifted inside of me. As it was another place in my life where I had made myself vulnerable. And I don't know if you noticed that. Vulnerability will bring shifts in your life. But you have to be careful where you're vulnerable. That's the precursor, right? You just don't become vulnerable with just anyone. There are places and points in life where you become vulnerable so that God is able to do something deep inside of your heart. But be careful where you do that, right? And that's all I'm going to say. And so during about halfway through the conference, and you'll see that if you're part of it at the end of this month when we do that, halfway during the during the conference, we do a communion session. Because there's some deep things that God is taking care of you, touching your life with. Maybe you've confessed them or however that works. And that's what happened to myself. And so during that communion session, as we were worshiping the Lord, I saw a picture in my heart. There's a number of things that happened. I'm just going to draw attention to one of them, and I'll bring this up over here. And I saw a picture of my heart of Jesus walking through white laundry, like you see in a picture. But there were not just one row. There were many rows, like there were just rows and rows of it. And they were waving in the wind. And as Jesus walked through among the rows, he was smiling, and he was just happy. He was joyful, and he was touching every one of those pieces of laundry that were there and making sure that it was clean and washed. And I knew instantly he was talking about the stuff inside of my heart, because I'd had a prophetic word about a number of years before that God was going to do some things in my heart, resetting some things in my heart and my life for some of the stuff that I had walked through. And I felt like that was a culmination of that. That was a pinnacle point for me, and there was a shift in my life. And this is the scripture that came to my heart, is that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2, was just that Jesus is like the launderer's soap. And when he touches your heart, when it's clean, there's no stains left behind. Isn't that a cool thing? It's the blood of Jesus. Even though my sins are like scarlet, they can be made as white as snow. Right? I don't know if you've ever had a shirt, and especially a lighter shirt, and there's an ink stain or something like that on it. Are you ever going to wear that again? Unless you just know how to get it out, right? And but in the spiritual realm, if there's a stain on your soul and the blood of Jesus touches you, guess what? It gets cleaned away like it had never been there before. Isn't that cool? See, and that's what I felt in that conference. It felt so good, and I knew something had deep in me had been healed, and that I would be okay. Because I had thought about quitting ministry, and I've not been quiet about that. I've shared that with before. In the fall of 2017, I was looking at what can I do to get out of ministry or even to step out, and what can I do? But I knew that that was not supposed to be, but I didn't have the strength or the energy hardly to keep going anymore. I was so dry. I was scraping the bottom of the barrel, sucking every piece of dirt, moisture that I could get out of it. But it was my own undoing. It was my own fault. It was nobody else's fault but my own. And I'm not there today, not even close, right? So it was a shift in my life. But statistically, when we look at the church, statistically, it may not be this church over here, but I'm talking statistically across the church in the world, especially North America, we know that within the church, some are struggling, not sure that their faith will keep them going. Yeah. Some are struggling with sin, with bondages, and wondering why they can't get a breakthrough. And even though they see the scriptures that they ought to be free, yet they're struggling. They're just not getting there. And so leading up to the Set Free Conference in March the 26th and 27th, we'll be addressing why the church is struggling in this area. As for the most part, whether we like it or not, for most part, the struggles that we're dealing with, for the most part, is kept hidden. Did you know that? Because of the guilt and the shame and all the stuff that's dealing with, and we think we can do it on our own. And for some things, you and I can do the things on our own. But there is a principle in the Word of God, James 5:16. It says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another so that you might be healed. You see, there's a part that we don't like because we have to become vulnerable. And I've seen this with individuals. I've seen it with people. I remember being in an office a couple of months ago. I don't remember when it was anymore. It was quite some time ago, but we had this couple in her office, and we were praying with them, and we were going through some things, and the lady pipes up, and she says, well, I already prayed through this by myself. And I said, well, let's just do this again. Let's just humor me. She says, okay, fine. I trust you, Pastor Wade. And then as we went through this, and as she reconfessed it, it's not like she was, there was something about it, and then we prayed healing over, and she says, something just shifted in my life. There's something about the prayer of agreement that something begins to happen in your life that is more powerful than you can pray by yourself. Now, it's not to say that you can't pray by yourself. I didn't say that. But there's reasons why God shares things like that with us, especially when it comes in a context of the right setting, if a context of healing and there's confession. There's something about it that when you and I confess something in front of someone else, there's a release somehow. There's a relief. You and I know that. To carry it on the inside of us, it's hard. But when we confess it, there's something about that. You see, when we confess it, we're releasing darkness into the light. And we're allowing the light to shine in. And then God is able to work with it. And so the testimonies that have come out of that, those set free conferences that I've been to, a number of them, are incredible, whether it's from pastors, leaders, or just regular church folk, and of all kinds of walks. And the phenomena of this is happening not just in certain cultures, but cross-cultural, cross-generational, and cross-denominational. Pretty well any denomination that you can think of has been to one of these set-free conferences. And it's amazing, and the same results happen. Why? Because God's heart is for you and I to walk in freedom, in confidence in Him. Because when there's things plugged up in our lives and we're not dealing with those things in our life, it actually stops us from fully entering into what God has for us. Our heart's desire is there, but it's what's tugging us back. What's holding us back? Is there a rope? Is there a chain? Is there something that's pulling us back, holding us back? Because the confidence isn't there. God wants you to, you want you to, but what's holding you back? And sometimes we don't even know. And this is where Holy Spirit comes in. I always tell people, don't go looking in the garbage, just anything. Ask Holy Spirit, and He'll tell you. Trust me, He will. He will. Do you know that to date, through this, the church renewal is the one that puts this on, that I'm part of. There are 1,200 pastors to date being pastored, being mentored alone. Because there's a desire in the church world, especially in the Western world, for people to be set free and for people to be free. Yeah. Enough is enough, what I'm hearing. How can I be set free? Going in and out of church on Sunday doesn't necessarily cut it that way. But having that personal, authentic relationship with God and accountability of some sort, some part to come with alongside of that, that is what's going to bring freedom and lasting freedom. How do I know? Because I know. You see, it's good for us to have a momentary victory lap. We can dance up and down with the worship this morning. We can jump up and down, and when it gets really exciting, we can take arms and run around the room and do a whole bunch of circles around the room and feel like we're free. But we walk out of this building, sometimes we're not free. And so it's a momentary thing. It's a momentary hype. It's a momentary whatever. And it's okay. You can be excited about that. If you can get excited about a hockey team, about a football team, of whatever team you have, and you can get excited even just jumping up and down in front of your TV and get excited about, why can't we do that in church? We can. We can. But then when we walk out not free, then we're wondering, okay, what's going on? What's not working in my life? Could it be I need to sit down and just go a little bit deeper with someone else? Could it be? This boy's had to do that. He's had to become vulnerable at times when he didn't want to. But I knew if I didn't, I would not be set free in certain areas of my life. I wouldn't be. You see, because what do we want to do? We're afraid of what people might think of us. We're afraid of being rejected. We're afraid of being shamed one more time. We're being afraid of saying, see, you're just a sinner. And did Jesus deal with people that way? No, He never did. What did He do? He was a friend to the sinner. And He got lambasted for it by the church. Church leadership, I should say. What was Jesus' heart? Freedom. That's His heart. And the worst of sinners would come to Him. And he would reach out to them, and he would reach out to them, and he would touch them. And overnight, as I shared last week with Zacchaeus, overnight Jesus walks into the house, has supper with them. We don't even know what was being shared. But next thing Zacchaeus knows, all of a sudden he empties his bank account just about unto the poor people. What happened? Heart transformation. Something shifted. Now that's the gospel that I'd like to see happen. You see, this January, we were praying, we were fasting, and felt in our heart, God, we want to see some healings. And it's like, we want to see some healings in a place of, we want to see some deep stuff. Did you know that some of the natural healings will come when you deal with the spiritual stuff in your life? We've seen it time and time again. I'll give you an illustration. This is all free. This is not even, this is just my introduction. So we'll see. See, the worship was a little long, a little shorter, so I have a lot more time to talk now. Just kidding. When we were there in 2018, we were in Set Free Conference, and just a little bit of a taste of what will happen. There's a lady there who had been pregnant, and she wasn't pregnant there, but we were going through the course and talked about confession and talked about yoga. Now, I'm stopping on maybe some toes, but I don't care. And so, anyway, so the leader on the stage said, if you've been in yoga, I said, no, I don't know what it is, but there's something about yoga that is not right, because it's from the wrong spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you can't exercise. So anyway, so I said, just trust me on this. Now, if you don't want to, that's fine, but if you've been in part of yoga, then if you're in a group, confess this to your group over here. Whether you feel like it or not, it's up to you, but I mean, just try it, just do it. So there was this one young mom who had been pregnant, but she had some aches, so her doctor prescribed yoga to her. So she went and found herself a yoga group and to do some stretches. So she did some stretches. I have no idea what you do in yoga. I have no idea. But anyway, so she did some stretches. And so it actually relieved some of the pain that she was into, that she had. So she has her baby, and she stops doing yoga. But her back is now sore. In her back, it's sore. So she went to the doctor and took x-rays and tried to figure out what's wrong with her. She couldn't find anything wrong. So she comes to the conference with a sore back, with a hurting back. During the conference, she just said, okay, God, I did it innocently, didn't know any better, so I'm just going to confess that I was part of yoga. So she confesses, repents, and they pray healing prayer over, very simple. And all of a sudden, the pain leaves, just like that. But she said, this could just be coincidence. This was the first night. This is the Friday night. Just simple stuff. Anyway, so she goes through the Saturday, no pain. Wakes up in the morning, no pain, no pain at nighttime. Sunday comes along, no pain, no pain. Monday comes along, and we have a pastoral meeting. Just the pastors come that day, and just for encouragement and some other things. And so Pastor Ray Dirksen asked for some testimonies. So she stands up, and she says, you know, I've been 3 days without pain today.
First time in years,
she said. You see, sometimes we innocently walk into things. We don't even know we're bound, and we just receive it, and we think it's just normal. But God even wants to set you free from that stuff. She confessed, and healing came along. Isn't that cool? That's just look forward to in 3 weeks from now. All right. But let's just look at these scriptures over here. Let's just look at these scriptures. What does it say? In Titus chapter 2, 14, those are the ones on this side, and then John 8, 36 on these ones. It says this, he gave his life to free us. That's what Jesus came to do, and that's what his whole ministry was, to set people free. That's why he touched people's hearts and lives, no matter who they were. So he gave his life to set us free. From every kind of sin. How many kinds of sin? Every kind of sin. So yours is not special. To cleanse us. We talked about that. And to make us his very own people. To make us his own very, very own people. He wants us. His heart is for you and I to be fully devoted to him. But when you're stuck, sometimes it's hard for that because the Bible tells in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, when sin is in between, it actually separates us in our devotion to God. It pulls us apart because we're betwixt, we're struggling. How come? But Jesus said, I've come to set you free from every kind of sin, to cleanse you and to make you his very own people. So attracted to him, you can read Ephesians chapter 5, you can read that. You can add that to that. And it says, totally committed. Amplified version, a few other translations added to that. What does the word totally committed mean? Living a fully eager and enthusiastic life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. To doing good deeds. Wow. Living a fully eager life and enthusiastic life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not, oh, it's Sunday morning. If I don't go to church, I wonder what people are going to say to me. If I don't read my Bible today, if I don't pray, I'll just skip it today. So whatever, it doesn't make any difference. Or no, you don't. What Titus is saying over here, he gave his life to free us. Why? So that we're eager and enthusiastic to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it fills us with his presence. So I can be a testimony for him, no matter where I am. That's what he's saying. But it's the things that are stuck in our lives sometimes that hold us back. And a lot of times we don't even know. And it takes the revealing of the Holy Spirit in your life to reveal to you what is actually there. That's the way it works in mine. Because sometimes I go, Lord, why am I stuck over here? Why can't I move beyond this? What is it? And there's times that I've been just by myself, but there's other times when in a group setting, the Lord just said, I want you to confess that, and I want you to have people pray and lay hands on you. There's something about that. So Jesus wants you totally set free, nothing holding you back, serving the Lord out of love, free of all entanglements and pressures. Wow. Just free. And I saw when I wrote that down, I was preparing this week, and I saw someone is jumping up and down. It's like, I'm free, finally I'm free, jumping up and down. I just saw an image of that. I don't know who that is. I had no face, no nothing. Just an image of that. And then Jesus said in John chapter 8, 31, 32, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. In other words, I'm discipling you. And, everybody say, and, you shall know the truth. How do you know the truth? By spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. Otherwise, you set yourself up for deception. You shall know, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what you're going to learn when you learn the truth? You're going to learn to discern what's a lie and what's truth. And the more you're in the Word of God, the more you're in this thing over here, the more you begin to learn, the more the Lord begins to explain to you this Word, the Word of God to you, the more you're going to have a greater sense, you're going to have a greater sense of discernment, even when you're in church, no matter where you are, so you can sniff it out. Stacy, I'm just going to pick on you for a minute. There you go. Sometimes Stacy will come to Pastor Wayne, I smell this in the building. I smell this. Am I correct on that? What's going on, Pastor Wayne? I don't know. Please, I need an interpretation. It's what we call our spiritual sniffing hound. So don't come too close to Stacy. No, just kidding. No, it's not like that at all. Right? But it's like, God, what's going on? But you can do the same thing. It's the same for you. The more time you spend with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you are, the more sensitive you become to sniffing out stuff that is not necessarily from God. And especially in today's age, we need to know, people. Because there's a lot of junk out there. And what I call internet theology. And just because somebody is on the other end of on your computer and it sounds really good, you better check it out with the Word of God. Because it may not be good. Right? So make sure that what you're listening to, that what you're watching is actually biblical. Even myself, it's like when I'm preaching the Word of God, is Pastor Wayne preaching the Word of God? Is he actually preaching the Word of God? It's okay. You can question me. Right? So and but that is your choice because you are responsible for building your faith. I'm responsible to feeding you. The Word of God is very clear on that. But you're responsible for your own faith. Did you know that? God will hold me responsible. I'm held to a higher standard. That's what the Bible is very clear on that. And it puts the fear of God in my heart, actually, in my life, actually. But you're responsible for your faith also. So who's the truth? Jesus, in his word, his revelation, right? So what I'd like to do now, in light of being set free, I want us to go to Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. I'm going to, remainder of this, the next half hour, we're going to talk about this portion over here. But a month ago, I was doing my devotions, and this passage of Scripture just jumped out at me. And it's a passage of the Scripture about the 10 lepers. And I hadn't seen this before, and Jesus asked me a question while I was reading this, and I don't ever remember hearing that word, so we'll talk about it in a few moments. But let's just read the story first to familiarize ourselves with this particular passage. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. Now what happened? Now Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. Wow. He knows what's happening. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, as he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, at the border of another place, says, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They were far off. And so they were screaming. They lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Lord, have Master, have mercy upon us. Our pity. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priests. And they knew exactly what that meant. We'll talk about it in a little bit. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God. He was excited and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, hey, weren't there 10 of you that were cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well or whole. There was something that happened in this man's life because he gave thanks to God that was went further than what the other 9 did. We're not 100% sure what it looks like. I feel like maybe all of his limbs that were falling off got come back and so on and so forth. But he definitely received something much more than the other 9 did. So it's quite the story of healing when you think about it. And so when I was reading this, as I said about a month ago, that the thought came, there's a couple of thoughts came to me. And one of them was, is there spiritual leprosy in the church today? That's the thought that came to me. Is there spiritual leprosy in the church today? Now, I'd never heard of that phrase before. I may have years ago, but I was not familiar with it. So I had to start looking this up. What is spiritual leprosy? That's the thought that came to me. And so let's just have a look. Let's just dissect it a little bit. So number one, what is leprosy? First of all, we've got to find out what leprosy is, and then we'll make some correlation with spiritual leprosy. So leprosy is a contagious disease. In fact, it was the worst disease in Jesus' day, and still today in certain parts of the world, it is feared. It is very much feared, unless there's medication. Apparently, there's some medication where you can stop it and deal with it, but not every part of the world has that. But particularly in biblical days, it was one of those diseases that was pretty well, it was a death sentence. So number one, it attacks the body. Leprosy is caused by a certain type of nasty bacteria and attacks the body, leaving sores, missing fingers and ears and nose and toes and so on and so forth get damaged. In many cases, the initial pain of leprosy gives way. It disappears to something much more terrible than that, a loss of sensation in nerve endings. So you can't feel when your body is in pain, leading to more damage to more body parts. And that's why sometimes the body parts fill up. You might be wondering what just happened to my finger, and you never felt anything because there's no sensation there anymore. The disease can take 30 years to run its course, and in that time span, entire limbs can simply fall off. It is the most horrible disease. In Bible times, there was generally no known cure. It was the most feared disease and generally meant a death sentence, separation from loved ones through isolation and from family and church community and so on and so forth. And I think that's why these men, they heard about Jesus and they realized they had heard stories of Jesus healing people. They had heard stories probably about Jesus raising people from the dead. Because news went around, traveled fast there in those days, and even though it was word of mouth, it still went fast. But they realized, I believe, that Jesus was their only cure, as they had heard that Jesus cured all kinds of diseases. Why? Because he's come that the captives might be set free, no matter what it is. So then what is spiritual leprosy? While physical leprosy is caused by bacteria, spiritual leprosy is caused by sin. And of course, when sin is conceived, it leads to death in the end, James 1, 14 and 15, and will lead to separation of God in your devotions to him. In other words, you'll begin to distance, the potential is you begin to distance yourself with devotion, and your heart won't be as nearly connected to God as you should be. Why? Because the sin that's in you separates you from God. It's not to say that you are going to hell. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is like just when Rose and I, when we were raising our children, sometimes the children would make a mistake, right? But they felt guilty. So what they do, they want to don't want to look at you. They won't want to do, you know, they did, you know, there's guilt on them. It's like a better way to put it is your dog. Have you ever seen your dog? When you come home, the dog has done something. It's like the dog can't be found anywhere. Get over here. Come on over here. Tail between his leg, head down. That's a better example, right? Right? And it's like what? The guilt of it separates you, right? So you want to come back, but you can't. Or you want to, but there's something in between. It's inside of your heart. So the condition of the spiritual leper is described vividly in Isaiah 59, verse 10 and 12. We grope like the blind along a wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. Even at brightest noontime, we stumble as though it were dark. Among the living, we are like the dead. In other words, we don't feel alive. There's something that's inside of us. And you may not feel that right away when you sin, but when you leave it, when you let it sit and let it work inside of your heart, it will become that. Because sin always works its way towards death of some sort. For our sins are piled up before God and testify against us. Yes, we know what sinners we are, verse 12. So the sin of the spiritual leper testifies against him, just like the physical leper announces unclean, unclean, whenever he leaves the leper's camp. But how do we know we have it? How do we know it's even in us, or if there's anything in us? You see, God knows. And he can show us if we ask him. Just think of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Won't go there. You can look at it yourself. But these churches were just going on. They were just having a good old time. And they thought they were doing everything right. And about five of them, God says, if you don't repent, I will do this. If you don't repent from this, I will do this. There was leprosy inside the church. Some of it wasn't all that good. Some of it was, But sin is sin. God doesn't distinguish it between sin and sin. Sin is all sin. No matter what sin it is, it's working in them death. The Ephesian church were doing everything right. What was their sin? You've left your first love. They were doing everything right. Everything. Except for the church was doing it because it felt like they had to. They came to more of it wasn't so much a fluid church as it was like, you know, guys, get over here. Yeah, you can't sleep in. Do this, do this, and do this. It is like more of a mechanic. It had become more mechanics than it was a free flow. That's what we see the first church in Ephesians. And so the other churches, but Jesus was walking amongst the churches. And through John, these churches were made aware of what was happening inside of these churches. And every one of them, this is the cool thing, says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And then every one of these churches said, if you'll just do this, if you'll overcome, I will make you. You'll eat from the tree of life. I'll write your name in a white stone and you can read all seven of them. And God gives them a promise of freedom. and of strength and of just moving forward. Isn't that cool? That's God's heart. You see, when God begins to expose things in our heart, when he begins to show us what's actually holding us back, whether it's inside a church, as a corporate body, or as an individual person, he is not there with a big stick trying to whack you down and trying to get you on your knees. No. He wants to expose it for our benefit so that we can deal with it, so that we can come overcome. Why? Because he's looking for a glorious church, not a defeated church. That's why at times it's okay to become vulnerable in his presence in the right settings, so that you and I can become everything God wants us to be. Look at some of these biblical examples of leprosy and why. That may be the cause of leprosy. So what I'm saying is not everyone that has leprosy has sinned, all right? Leprosy is part of the sin cycle. But we see a number of cases over here definitely that leprosy come on the person because of what they did. So Miriam, do you remember Miriam was Moses' sister? Moses decided to take an Ethiopian wife. And Miriam was not too happy about that. In other words, she started talking to her brother Aaron. Next thing you know, the gossip ring is going on. And you know about and Moses over like, it's like, what does he think he is? Like, who does he think he is? Right? And who gets upset? God. Amen. Criticizing, gossiping about her brother, who's in charge of the whole church, of the whole 2 million people. And God says, Miriam, you just picked on me because I'm the one who put him there. Leave him alone. Whoa. Right? That doesn't mean that somebody like myself or leaders, that if they make a mistake, you don't deal with it. But in this case, to God, it was not a big deal. Right. And so the next thing you know, she gets leprosy. Bang, instantly. And because she was rebellious. Rebellious. Leprosy. Of course, Moses prays for her. They put her outside the camp for a number of days, so I think it was about a week, and she comes in totally healed. So praise God for intercessors. Gehazi, because of greed, received leprosy, and it would stay in his family, the Bible says, because of greed. Remember Naaman, the Syrian army commander, had a Jewish girl that was his that worked for him, and she says, and he was a good boss, and she says, you know what, you need to go to Israel because there's a man there who could heal you. And so he did, and he went to Elisha, and I think it was Elijah. And so anyway, so he went there and knocked on the door and said, Elijah says, I'm not going to come out. And Gehazi, you tell him what is done, I already know. Go dip yourself in the River Jordan 7 times. And the guy got ticked off and the little girl says, no, don't do that. Don't get ticked off. Go dip yourself. He says, okay. Of course, he gets healed, totally healed, right? And he goes and wants to give him money and clothes, brand new clothes and money. And Elijah says, no, I don't want it. Go. Of course, Gehazi says, So he goes, chases after Naaman, and he lies like crazy. So he takes it home, hides it in his tent, goes to his boss. Hey, Elijah, how are you doing? So what do you got for me today? I went with you, Gehazi. And the very disease that God just healed Naaman of will be on you and for your family generations to come. Be careful. Number 3, King Uzziah. He was a good man. He was a very good king. He reset the kingdom of God, reset the kingdom and brought godliness in it, but he went to his head. He said, look what I have done. Look what I have done. And so then one day he decides, I'm a king, but you know what? I can do what the priests do. So I'll just go in the house and into the temple, and I will offer sacrifices to my God, which was only the priest's job. And so he overstepped his boundaries, and because of pride and rebellion, and instantly he gets leprosy. And he's pulled out of the house and he dies a leper. Wow. I look at the New Testament, for instance, and you'll see those on the board, on the screen over there. John says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's a lot of stuff in there. I believe all of those things, there are sins that can get into your system. Jesus said offense is another one. Do you know that offense is one of the greatest weapons in the church that the enemy uses? Yeah. Offense can lead to bitterness, yeah. Right? And I've seen people being taken out by offense because they can't get through it. They won't forgive. And so what it does, it eats on the inside, and it becomes a leper's disease, right? And to the point where bitterness, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says that bitterness comes out, and by this many become defiled. So this is just biblical examples of what spiritual leprosy could look like. So let's just now look at, so what are the symptoms of spiritual leprosy? How do you know you have it? Because sometimes we don't even know if we have it. And these are just some of the thoughts, that it could be more, but these are just generalizations as we're looking at this. So it could be, if you have spiritual leprosy, it could be because there's a conviction change. So what do I mean by that? Spiritual leprosy could cause numbness, just like your sensations of the physical are gone. A numbness, meaning that you no longer feel convicted by God when you're in church services, when you're reading the Bible. You're no longer convicted by Him. You think God is convicting, but it doesn't do anything with you anymore. You're numb to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Your ears become deaf. You don't hear Him any that clearly anymore. And you're not getting as much out of the Word of God anymore. I wonder what's happened. The Word of God has become stale. It's just not there. The flow is gone. Why? Because sin's working in the midst of all of this. And it's causing numbness to come into your soul. It eats away at your faith, erodes and breaks down the foundation of your faith. This is why so many sit, again, gotta get me right, I'm talking about the broad structure. This is why so many sit in numbness in churches and don't feel the convicting power of God moving in them anymore. Why? Because sin is working in their lives. And they're not dealing with it. They're not dealing with it properly. And there's no authentic repentance so that refreshing and restoration is able to come in people's lives. That's what you call spiritual leprosy, part of it. Then the next thing that will happen, because your conscience is being seared because of the sin, so you don't feel and don't sense the conviction of God anymore, all of a sudden you begin to compromise. Compromise sets into your life. You do things and walk places you would not have done or gone before. You can't see how this is damaging you spiritually. Your eyes are being blinded. And you're doing things and saying things and being part of stuff like years ago, you would not be part of that. What's happening? Sin is doing its work. And it's eroding your faith. It's eroding at the foundation of your very personal life. Thirdly, what happens then all of a sudden, because of that, all of a sudden your companionship begins to shift and change. Not because you're reaching out to the lost, no, because you feel comfortable around, amongst them, and saying that it's like, it's okay. I'm going to be with the other lepers. I'm going to change my thing. I'm going to be with more lepers because I feel more comfortable over here. Because nobody talks to me about my sin. Nobody challenges me. Because why? Because deception is now starting to set in. And fourthly, because of that, connection losses. Remember about the arms and legs falling off? Do you remember about Ezekiel 37, about all those valleys of dry bones? Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about that the body needs to put together? And twice it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 21, it says, I have no need of you. That's a lie. Now, I know it's not in context, but the truth is still there. Where a body part says, I don't need you anymore. I'm good by myself. I don't need you anymore. I don't need somebody telling me how to live, what to do in my life. See, accountability goes out the window. Right? And so now you're fully into the leper colony of what I would say the world. Are those that have been outside of the church because of sin, and you feel comfortable amongst them. Not because you're trying to reach out. Because it's like-minded heart. You're not dealing with things in your life. And so you begin to lose your connections. The fingers, the ears, the nose, the limbs begin to fall off. Your circle of godly influence becomes smaller and smaller until one day you die spiritually. Sin. Its end product is what? Death. But I have good news. That's the hard part. I'm thinking, God, right? I mean, this is what the Lord showed me. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, God, am I there? Do I, right? Because I have to ask myself the same questions, right? Am I numb to the things of God? That's the biggest ones that stood out. And I feel within this Western world, so many people go to churches, but they're no longer convicted by the things that are being shared from the pulpit. They're no longer convicted by the Word of God. And we think we can get away with stuff. Yeah, we get away with it. But are we really getting away with it? Because sin's end is destructiveness. Jesus said, I've come to give life and to give it to you more abundantly. Right? Amen? So in the next 10 minutes, let me just share with you the cure. Thank you, dear. What did they do? He says, what did the lepers do? Jesus, Master, have mercy, have pity. The word pity and mercy can be used. Mercy because I did something wrong. Or mercy, I'm not sure what I did, what happened over here, but I'm sick. I need something to happen. So mercy can be, the men were crying out for mercy, whether they did something wrong or whether or not. It's not the issue. They just knew that things weren't going where they were. So again, it's not the condemnation thing. It's like, Lord Jesus, we know something's wrong here. I just need some mercy. See, as a church, I think we need to cry out to God and say, God, have mercy upon your church. Have mercy upon your body. Have mercy upon this world. Have mercy, God. Because that's who he is. He's not out for a stick. That's what Jesus said. He didn't come. In John 3:16, God says this. He said, 17, he says, that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the word saved is the word sozo, the Greek word sozo. It means saved in every single way that you think. Healed in every single form that you think you can be healed in. Spirit, soul, and body. That's the heart of God. And so these guys, they cry out, mercy! Mercy on us, Lord Jesus! They were acknowledging their condition and ask for spiritual cleansing and healing. So what did Jesus do? Go show yourself to the priest. Who's our high priest? Who's our high priest? Jesus is our high priest. Now, it's based upon a principle. Look, Leviticus chapter 14, 1 through 54. We won't read it all because we'll be here for a while. But it talks about the ritual for cleansing healed lepers. So what the ritual was is that you went to show you what they were doing. They had to go see the priest of the temple. Or at the synagogue, wherever they were, and the priest himself would have a certain way of knowing if they've been healed or not. So they'd look at the skin, if there were still white tones on the skin, if the skin was still flaked and so on and so forth. But as they were walking, they noticed that something had shifted and changed. So there was a noticeable difference. They could see it in their hair, they could see it in the skin, maybe a few other places that they could tell, but something had shifted, something had changed. And so as they were walking there, of course, these guys, they go to the priest. And so the idea was that they would have to take their clothes off and to disrobe themselves. They had to wash all of their clothes so that when they put the clothes back on, it were fresh and clean. And they had to wash their own physical body. And then what ended up happening is that the priest would take, and then there was a sacrifice on top of that. Then the priest, what he would do, he'd take this from his left hand, he would take one of his fingers and touch the blood, and then the priest would have to touch his earlobe, his right thumb, and his right toe. Then, on top of that, then he would anoint him. So he'd take oil from a cylinder of oil of some sort, holy oil, in the temple and synagogue, and he would dip his finger into that, and we'd do the same thing, anoint his ear, anoint his thumb, and anoint his toe. And if there was oil left over, then what he would do, he would come to the person and lay his hand, his left hand, upon that person's head and bless him. And what does all that mean? So we're talking about healing. Number one, if you know there's something in your heart, if you're alive, first of all, like the 10 lepers, they recognized there was something wrong with them. They had leprosy. Whether it was was from the lineage, generational, or whether it was just they picked it up somewhere along the line, a germ of some sort. But number one, they had acknowledged that they had spiritual leprosy, that they had leprosy. And for us, can we acknowledge to the Lord Jesus Christ that there is spiritual leprosy in our lives? Is there a numbness? And I keep going numbness. That kept coming to my heart. The numbness, I sense that in the church in North America, is like we become numb to the convicting power of God. Is that why we're not seeing the power of God rise within the body of Christ? Could it be? Is it because we're compromising too much? Could it be because we're surrounded by wrong companions? And it's again that I'm not saying you can't be around, you can't be around people. It's saying, what's the purpose of it? Are you being influenced? Are you being around companions because it feels better? And then thirdly, how connected are you? Fourthly, how connected are you to the body of Christ, to believers? So if you sense these things, Lord, I need your help. Because God wants you and I committed, eagerly serving him in freedom. Isn't that a better way? I can tell the difference between the beginning of January 2018 to the beginning of February 2018. Major difference. Major difference. Why? Because something had been settled in my heart. Something had cleaned out. Something was shifted. And I knew the difference. And nobody's going to tell me differently. Because you know on the inside. And then secondly, what you do, if you acknowledge that, begin to cry out for mercy in humility and repentance. Listen to what David said when he hid his sin and it festered in him. And when he had to deal with it, he went right to God when he was caught. And he says, create in me a clean heart. We use that as a scripture in our prayer and fasting time. Create in me a genuine heart, O God, and renew a steadfast and stable spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of salvation. Do you know that when you sin, you know what goes out the window first? The joy of God. Why? Because you're squashing Holy Spirit. You're squashing. He's working in your life. You're squashing it. And until it's repented of, until it's been confessed and moved, and until the blood comes and cleanses it up, that joy is squashed in your life. And you can do all kinds of churchy things, but it's not going to come back because churchy things don't bring God. Let me put that together. Churchy things don't come God. Serving doesn't bring God if there's sin in your life. The only thing that brings God back, your devotion and the joy of God back, you go on your knees before God, your face before God, or in a setting where you're being accountable and just being vulnerable, and let it out and allow God to bring healing into that life. Then there is a reset, a true reset. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. What kind of spirit? A generous spirit, not a stingy one. A generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way. David says, then I'll get back on track, and sinners shall be converted to you. Why? Because they're going to see my testimony. Yeah. They're going to see what God has done in me. Yeah, I messed up. I messed up royally, David did. But guess what? When I go to God, I know he'll restore me. Verse 16, for you do not desire sacrifices, or more money in the offering bucket, or more serving, or else I would do it. You do not delight in burnt offerings, but the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite or humble heart. These God will not despise. Cry out for mercy. And when you do, when you do that, it is the blood of Jesus that cleanses. It makes you fully clean. It cleans your hearing. It puts a joy back into doing with your hand. And wherever you walk, you're able to now share the gospel in freedom again. Remember the ear, the thumb, and the toe. And it's not just that. Look at this over here. The joy of the Lord will be reestablished. He re-anoints you. It's like it never happened before. Now, you may have memory of it. But if I read my Bible correctly, Psalm 103 says that he'll remove my sins as far as the east is from the west, and they don't meet. So don't you bring it up. Don't allow the enemy to say, I know what you were in your past life there. Satan, get thee behind me, because the blood of Jesus stands against you. Right? You got to be militant about that. And then the Holy Spirit anoints you with, re-anoints you with oil so that you can keep, you can start doing again what God has asked you to do. Step into that destiny that he's called you so you can move forward with confidence. And then the last thing I loved about it, I said, God, what about the hand? And all of a sudden I saw the hand of God, Father God. So you got Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father working all in this. Isn't this cool? The three of them, the blood, the oil, the hand of anointing. And he puts his hand on you as a son and a daughter. And he says, son, daughter, I just want to affirm you again. Because I know that you've been wishy-washy. But I want to affirm you again as a true son, as a true daughter. Now go and do. I give you the confidence to do what I called you to do. Amen. Isn't that cool? What's the take-home message for today? He, Jesus Christ, our high priest, gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us his very own people, totally committed, living a fully eager and enthusiastic life for the Lord Jesus Christ, to doing good deeds. As I walk through my life, I'm just thinking right now, as I walk through my life, there are days when sometimes, not so much now anymore, but and even since 2018, since that change in my life, that shift in my life. But it's like there was days where I thought, God, where it was more mechanical. But I have found the freer I am, when God shows me these things and I become vulnerable and release these things, the freer I am, the freer I have the ability to serve God with a heart of joy. That is what I have found. So my encouragement to you is, don't stay locked up. Become vulnerable in the presence of God. Take in the conference like Set Free. Allow God to touch your heart in maybe in a way that it hasn't been touched for some time so that you too can experience the freedom of God, because Jesus came to set us free. He came to set us free. Amen? So as we stand, consider the following. Did God convict you of something? How does God want you to deal with it? That's once one thing that you learned today. And maybe you're not 100% sure. And some God, I don't know. I'm not sure if this connects with you or not. It's okay. That's fine. But just ponder on it. Maybe go home and reread the story of Luke chapter 17. And say, God, what is it you want me to? Is there anything? And if there's nothing there, don't worry about it. It's okay. But if there's something there, then allow God just to touch you and show you what is it maybe that you need to deal with. What is it that you maybe need to bring to the foreground? Amen? So, Lord, I just thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I thank you that your heart is not to pounce us, Lord. But, Lord, your heart is to touch us and to set us free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You came to set us free. And so, Lord, this month, may many shackles and bondages and junk that's attached itself to people's lives, maybe even cause physical ailments, Lord God, may those be broken, Lord God, over our lives in this congregation, Lord God, within the body of Christ, Lord God, and those that are listening by, those that are viewing through live stream, Lord God, may there be a brokenness that comes. So as we break ourselves before you, as we fall upon the rock, Lord Jesus, and break our hearts before you, Lord God, that the chains of bondage would be broken over us, so we stand up free in you, free to serve, free to rejoice. Just like the Samaritan man came back and he came yelling and screaming and jumping up and down and threw himself prostrate before you with joy because of the wonderful works that you had done. So, Lord, we claim that over this body, whether it's this month or this year, 2021, Lord God, just like COVID has tried to lock us down, Lord, Lord, I thank you that you're the one who's opening things back up again. You're the one who's breaking its back and its chains. I thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. We do have some prophetic teams up front over here. If you say, I just need to hear God, you don't have to confess anything, but I just need a word from God. I just need to be encouraged this morning. I want to encourage you to come on up. We've had that for a number of weeks already, and everyone that's come up here has just been so blessed. And so God bless you, and God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Have a wonderful day, week.